Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
35 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. I'm Austin Hill. Monday morning underway as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Question, is the United States of America a hospitable place for Christians? How would you answer that question? And do you anticipate the United States of America for the remainder of your life, perhaps for the lifetime of your children and grandchildren? Will it continue to be hospitable, or will it become more or less hospitable than it is right now? Certainly, the ground beneath our feet is changing and shifting pretty dramatically, and the future of Christianity in America is not to be taken for granted. Joining us to talk about this issue, our great friend David Wheaton, former professional tennis star, also now these days an author and public speaker. He's written on this issue. He says it's time to prepare for persecution. David Wheaton, welcome back to the program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Austin. It's great to be on with you today.
Good to be with you. I'm glad I'm finally here with you being here. I think the last couple of times I was out and other people were standing in for me, but it's great to hear your voice again. You say it's time to prepare for persecution, if I understand you correctly. What do you have in mind here?
Well, I think some of the developments have been taking place in this country now over the last, it's not just since the Supreme Court decision legalizing homosexual so-called marriages. But I think it's been going on for a lot of years, you know, maybe since back in the 60s when the sexual revolution came in and then abortion came in the 1970s and no-fault divorce. It's working towards this much more secularized America. This country has been unique, I think, as you know, Austin, since its founding. It had very much of a Christian ethic. The founders and framers, although all of them weren't, as we would think, of born-again Christians, they were believers in God generally. They revered God in his word, and I think generally American society did that for a couple hundred years. That has changed, and as that's changing, I think we've crossed a tipping point, especially with the Supreme Court decision recently on marriage, legalizing other forms of marriage than what God prescribes as one man and one woman. And we're seeing this play out now. As this becomes federalized in our law, we see that those who don't believe that, who don't want to participate in that, you take the, let's say, just any of the number of news stories that come out, like the case in Oregon with the Kleins, Aaron and Melissa Klein, who owned a wedding cake shop, and they refused to participate in a gay wedding. And so they were not only... And you can tell there's a problem, Austin, because it's not like, okay, well, if you don't want to do that because of your religious beliefs, we'll go somewhere else and find someone else to do it. No, we will punish you for not doing it. I think that's a crucial thing to understand, is it's not just that, well, you can be free to believe what you want. No, it's the participation. If you don't do it, we're going to fine you, we're going to ruin your business, and you're going to be set as an example. So I think there is going to be, when we think of persecution, sometimes we think of, you know, being our heads cut off. I'm not sure we're getting to that point anytime soon, but certainly the marginalization would be maybe perhaps a better word to say Christians are going to be in the minority going forward. Our worldview is going to be in the minority.
Yeah, very interesting. David Wheaton, our guest on our newsline here on the Faith Radio Network, he says it's time to prepare for persecution. So we're talking about a form of persecution of a particular sort, not like what we see in other parts of the world necessarily, although I take nothing for granted. I know you don't either. But our worldview is marginalized. It sounds like what you're characterizing, David, is more scenarios wherein if we do not submit, acquiesce and actively participate in somebody else's set of values and priorities, we will be punished in a variety of different ways. Is that a characterization of where you're going with this?
I would say that's exactly the case. And by the way, this isn't just in, you know, wedding cake bakers. This is now clerks who have to officiate weddings in local counties and so forth. This is going to be across the board, also in corporate America as well. There's going to be a strong well, there already is, I think, a very strong pressure, persuasion. Corporate America is right on board. It's not just that the government has become secularized. It's all the major institutions of our society. It's government. It's the educational system. It's the media. It's the entertainment industry. It is the sports industry. I don't know if you saw the ESPYs recently. I mean, that was a three-hour program giving the awards out, to the best athletes of the year. A three-hour program. A full 30 minutes of the program was devoted to celebrating Bruce Jenner's, so-called transition into a woman. And so this is you could call it political correctness, yes. And if you're not on board, there's going to be a very, very strong leverage on you to conform, or you're really, quote-unquote, on the wrong side of history.
Yeah. David Wheaton, you use some very key words here that I'm making note of as I listen to you in my headphones. You make reference to corporate America, and you use the term leverage. It strikes me that secularists that are alive and among us today, they understand leverage in ways that oftentimes people of faith, Christians in particular, simply do not understand. I note that this very day, as you and I connect once again here on the program, there are news headlines abounding saying that this very week, the Boy Scouts of America will officially move forward, take another step forward into abolishing their policy of prohibiting openly homosexual men, from serving as scoutmasters. Now, I just a little thumbnail sketch here for to make sure we're all on the same page here. There were efforts to litigate, to use legal force, to force that change with the Boy Scouts back a couple of decades ago. That resulted in a U.S. Supreme Court ruling back, I believe, in the year 2000, where the high courts, I think by a margin of 5-4, by one vote, the high court said, yeah, the Boy Scouts, that is a private organization. They can set their own terms privately about who serves in leadership and who does not. So since that time, between 2000 and now, secularists who want to push this agenda on the Boy Scouts, they have been badgering, browbeating, leveraging, if you will, corporate America, large businesses in our country that donate financially to Boy Scouts of America, beating them into submission and saying, if you don't stop supporting the Boy Scouts of America, we're coming after you. So the Boy Scouts of America is now faced with, you know, their revenue streams go away if they don't acquiesce to the agenda. It seems to me that in the spirit of wanting to be, I guess, wise as a serpent, yet innocent as a dove, to quote a scripture verse, Christians would be well served to understand leverage and even basic economics a little more effectively. I hope that makes sense, but what are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with that. And that example of the Boy Scouts is another perfect example of the secularizing. You could even call it the homosexualizing, because all these issues seem to be around the issue of homosexuality. In other words, if you're not on board with that, you're going to be pounded into the anvil. And I think what they typically do in this leveraging is, the Boy Scouts often use, let's say, maybe government or state-owned properties for their events or something, and therefore they use that as, well, you can't have an organization like the Boy Scouts and use state, federal property and be that kind of discriminator. So they use that as their leverage tool to make you comply. And it's sad, really, because the Boy Scouts have historically been such an amazing organization and have been so impactful in the lives of many young people, and to see that change, I mean, it's not just in one area of life, as I was saying. It's really everywhere surrounding us. And, you know, the way the government works is that they first implement these laws unto themselves and enforce them and make you comply if you're a state or federal employee in their own domain. And then it just percolates out or just goes out from there, like in concentric circles from government to state and then local institutions. And then, as you mentioned, corporate businesses are forced to comply and so forth and so on. But the really, I think, dangerous thing is now is that, Austin, is the fact that churches and Christian organizations who have tax-exempt status or get grants from government and so forth are now, with this ruling in the Supreme Court, it's very, very likely that this is going to happen. This is not far-out crazy stuff anymore, that they're going to say, well, if you're going to receive a government benefit like tax-exempt status or grants and so forth, and you're not going to provide same-sex married housing on your Christian college campus, or you church are not going to provide same-sex weddings in your church, mm-hmm. You know, look, we're going to take that away from you. And so that's the leverage that we often see.
All right, we'll continue with David Wheaton in just moments. He is a former professional tennis player, author of numerous books. His first book, actually entitled University of Destruction, Your Game Plan for Spiritual Victory on Campus. He knows of which he speaks, as he speaks eloquently and writes eloquently on apologetics issues and issues pertaining to faith and culture. He says, prepare for persecution. We'll find out more about what that means as we continue. 46 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Are you preparing for persecution? And should you? That's what we're talking about here on Austin Hill in the Morning. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's 48 minutes past the hour. Our great friend David Wheaton on our guest line. He's written that, indeed, we need to be preparing for persecution. David, let's talk more about what you have in mind. What else do you foresee? What else do you see coming down the pike? What else are you warning people about in terms of persecution of Christians in the United States of America?
I think one thing to keep in mind is we have lived in a country that is very unusual over history to have the kind of freedom of speech and freedom of religion that we've had. Christians in America haven't suffered much persecution, at least within this country, but we see it going on all over the world. We know what's going on in Muslim parts of the world, in the Middle East, Christians being killed for their faith, even in some Hindu areas in India as well. So this is unusual what we've experienced, and maybe to some people listening today it sort of seems a little out there to think, hey, you know, I still can go to church on Sunday, and I can still do what I want to do in this country. But I think there's going to be a change going forward. And again, I'm not saying that we're going to be, you know, under the guillotine, you know, next week or something like that. But it's a slow, a long march, you could say, toward this sort of marginalization of the faith in this country. And you're going to feel it in so many areas. But again, I think what's important for us as Christians is, look, we've talked about homosexuality being the issue that seems to always be the anvil upon which Christians will be marginalized. But we don't hate homosexuals. You know, we are called to love people. You know, we have concern for other souls. So it's not an issue of us against them. It's an issue of trying to be able to retain the freedoms we've enjoyed in this country that haven't been, and other Christians have enjoyed in other times in history. If you think about Christ and the apostles, look at the culture they lived in the first century under Roman rule. I mean, this is vastly more intolerant to Christian belief than we have now. And that's why we see in Scripture, Austin, all over the place, and verses that we could sort of gloss over, I think, because we live in America, and we don't tend to sense these things happening. But one of in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the 8 or 9 things that Christ starts out by talking about, but blessed are you for this, for if you're poor in spirit, who mourn, who are gentle, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, have you noticed the last one? Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. Blessed mm-hmm. are you. Not like, oh, how bad is it for you? It's blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I guess what I'm trying to say is persecution is normative for Christians. We live in a world controlled by, to a great degree, this is Satan is the father of this world. He hates believers. He hates what they stand for. There are a lot of people in this world, unfortunately, who hate what Christians stand for. And so Christians have been persecuted, marginalized for millennia. And we just need to be prepared, strengthened in the Word of God, strengthen in unity with each other to be able to withstand what potentially is coming in this country.
Point is very well taken. It strikes me, to summarize what you're saying here, persecution is far more normal for Christians over the course of world history, much more normal than what Christians have known in the United States of America historically. I think that's a summary of what you're saying, correct?
That is exactly the point. Think of every single one of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were martyred. Christ himself, the perfect man, he responded perfectly and dealt with society, his culture, perfectly, and look what they did to him. So we can't expect that just being necessarily nicer or staying out of the fray, we're going to be able to avoid what has been commonly done to Christians in the past. Again, I'm not saying we're going to have our heads lopped off here in America, but there are going to be things that are going to put pressure on us as our society changes, especially within regards to the issue of sexuality. That seems to be the one issue. That's the new race issue in America, Austin. You know, back, no one would be considered in this country to be worthy of anything if they were a racist. We see that even today, of course. But we know biblically that we shouldn't be racist, of course. But with the issue of sexuality, they've been very effective at making that issue as gay as the new black. And so now if you take a stand for biblical morality, biblical marriage, you're considered basically a racist. But we know the Bible is clear on that. Jesus spoke clearly about what marriage is between one man and one woman. So we cannot compromise what the Word of God says. That is our authority. We must stand on that.
David Wheaton, I want to ask a question that hopefully is challenging for all of us. Certainly is for me, I think for you, but all of us. I wonder at times, are Christians in the United States of America, those of us who are alive today at such a strategic and pivotal time in our nation's history and world history, aren't we to some degree inviting our own troubles and bringing on trouble onto ourselves because of our passivity and unwillingness to get involved in civic life? I mean, I am an evangelical Christian. I have a voice in terms of what happens in my city, my county, my state, my nation, every bit as much as any secular person does. But I'm kind of deemed as a radical for saying so at times. It just strikes me that collectively there's this critical mass of evangelical Christians who say, oh, you know, I shouldn't be involved in these earthly things like politics, and doesn't matter who you vote for, nothing changes anyway. Let's just, you know, serve the Lord and be involved in ministry. It's almost as though we've made this spiritual virtue out of being ambivalent about the culture and the country. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah. Is that bringing trouble onto ourselves?
I think it is. I mean, one of the great freedoms we've had in this country that other nations, other peoples in history haven't had is, of course, to participate in government, to vote. And so we need to be involved in those in the civic life. Voting is the most important thing we can do. Of course, you know, writing letters to congressmen and senators, that's important too. But often it's very difficult. Once someone's voted in, they often don't change their worldview. It's just too far of a stretch to go for them. But I think other things can be involved in is just local civic life, whether it's your local city council or your school board and so forth. But again, these are very hostile environments now. Go into some public education school board and you'll see how hostile it is toward anyone who would have a Christian worldview and want to have some of that, which used to be very normative in schools, by the way, in this country, reading the Bible and so forth. I mean, they would never do, you can read any book but the Bible now in the public educational system. But yes, Christians do need to be involved. I mean, if you need one perfect example of why, Supreme Court justices are unelected, right? But they're nominated by the sitting president. So when a certain president, like President Obama, gets elected, he has the privilege of being able to nominate justices to the bench. Well, we just see the Supreme Court decision. He nominates people to the bench who share his much more secular worldview and are in line with his positions on marriage and abortion and other things like that. And it goes against what many, many Christians believe.
At the end of the day, I would pose this question, and we'll continue this conversation next time you join us, I know, but is it fair to say, and you may completely disagree with this, is it fair to say, though, that Christians in America maybe would do well to better understand the concept of leverage, which you referenced earlier? Do we need to understand our place in the world and how to leverage that for good a little more effectively?
I'm not so sure about that we need to feel like we need to use the same kinds of techniques and kind of fight fire with fire. We have a stronger weapon, I think, on our side. We have the God of the universe. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the church. Nothing will prevail against the gates of the church, Scripture says. So I really think it's a matter of, for Christians, it's about personal sanctification, personal growth, strengthening ourselves in the Word, as Scripture calls us to do, being stronger and more effective Christians, churches getting very serious about teaching people within the church how to be saved, how to be right with God, how to grow strong in Him. And I think it's more a spiritual battle, I would say, than a leverage battle. You know, what's really changed, Austin, is the way we see authority in this country. I had a guest on recently in our program who talked about the fact that in the Vietnam era, that was the first time in America where there was this great challenging of all things authority. But it wasn't just human authority, it was written text of authority as well. We see that with the Constitution. That's why things are reinterpreted in this Constitution to make them be what culture wants them to be. And that's why we see the decisions being made by the Supreme Court. But Christians can stand up to this in having a strength, a spiritual strength, in the Word, in the Spirit.
David Wheaton, he has written about preparing for persecution. You'll find that at myfaithradio.com. He is an author and apologist. David, always great to be with you. Thanks very much. We look forward to talking again soon. Have a great day. And I'm Austin Hill. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow morning, bright and early. Keep it right here all day long. This is the Faith Radio Network. Find us at myfaithradio.com. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.